were four preacher friends who went out one day together for a cup of coffee. During the conversation, they said to one another, "You know, our people frequently come to us and confess to us their struggles and the things that they're dealing with, their sins and their needs. We should do the same. Besides, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another." So they eventually all agreed, and one preacher confessed he liked to have the occasional drink. He admitted that he'd oftentimes sneak out of town to visit a bar in a different city than where he preached. The second confessed that he liked to dance. So once every couple of months or so, he'd sneak off to the nightclub. The third preacher admitted he liked to gamble. And so he'd go from time to time and visit one of the local casinos. But when it came to the fourth preacher, he was tight-lipped, wouldn't say a word. And the others were saying, "Well, we told you what our sins and struggles were. Why don't you tell us?" Finally, he relented and said, okay, I gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." Perhaps one of the most tolerated and one of the most destructive sins that plagues the church is the sin of gossip. And the reason that many of us, most if not all of us, with some degree of regularity, if you stop and think and maybe after this lesson better understand what gossip is, recognize that we practice this, we do so because, and we don't rebuke others as harshly as we should, because we see the sin in our own life, we see the practice in our own life. You know, it's much easier to rebuke someone for something you don't do than it is for something that you struggle with. But I'm here this morning to tell us all and to remind myself that sin is an affront to God. Sin is what separates man from God. Sin is the reason that Jesus Christ had to come into this world and die on the cross. And sin is the reason, if we persist in it and refuse to repent, that an individual will spend all eternity in hell being punished for those sins. And while we as humans may make distinctions between big sins and little sins, and for some reason gossip, if it's even considered a sin, is always put in the little category, understand God does not make those same distinctions. Listen, you can be cast into hell for being an unrepentant gossip, the same way that another person can be cast into hell for being an unrepentant murderer. Just so we can understand the seriousness of this sin, with which God views as sin, I want you to notice the company that gossip keeps in Scripture. Matthew 15:19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." We're going to see slander as a form of gossip a little bit later on. In Romans 1:29-30, Paul says, "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents." And then in 2 Timothy 3:2-3, "For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good." So when you look at the company that a gossip begins to keep, you understand we're not dealing with something that is small and that is harmless, as if there were such a sin. We're talking about a sin that debuts alongside the same list of adulterers, murderers, haters of God, abusive people, unholy people. Understand, gossip is not some petty crime. It's a great sin, because all sins, when you understand God's holiness, are great sins. But at the same time, what really makes it dangerous and devious is the fact that we just don't think it's all that bad. What is gossip? I think a big part of the problem, you know, as I look back on my life, and I've been very sensitive to this week, there have been instances where I've said things, and then I've realized, should I have said that? Otherwise, in any other week, I never would have had this thought. But after giving consideration to these things and praying over these things and studying God's Word and looking at this, I thought, should I have said that? Did I just sin? And I've had to bite my tongue on multiple occasions. But I think a big part of the problem is that most of us don't really fully understand what gossip is. Maybe we think gossip is something that is shared with some sort of malicious intent, that is, it's spoken with the intent to harm, or it comes from a place of hatred. And although we may talk about others and share things that we shouldn't, we don't hate them and we don't have any malicious thoughts toward them. Now, certainly, malicious speech can fall under the category of gossip. But as we're going to investigate what this word means, we're going to see that gossip at the same time can be passed along quite innocently. and even well-intentioned. So let's look at this first from the perspective of our modern definition, and then we'll look at it in a biblical perspective as we try to grasp hold and understand what gossip really is. This is just a dictionary definition here. And it's defined in this particular instance, gossip is to talk informally about someone else's private or personal business, especially spreading negative or scandalous information, even though it has not been confirmed to be true. Now there's, even in the secular definition, there's several overlapping qualification characteristics by which the Bible would help us understand what gossip is. To talk about someone else's private or personal business. Now, in and of itself, this may not be wrong. We talk about one another's personal or private business all the time. When we talk to someone else about a friend's children, or a friend's health, or a friend's wellness, or something that they've got going on in their life. And so, in and of itself, talking about someone else's personal information or private business isn't wrong. We're going to see motives going to come into this here in just a moment in determining whether what we're saying about someone's personal life is gossip. But oftentimes, gossip does involve someone's private details of someone's life. Here's where we get to motive. This idea of spreading. You start to hit on motive a little bit here. When you speak about someone else's personal life or personal business, are you speaking or seeking perhaps godly counsel so that you can help them? Or are you sharing this information because you think someone can help you? Is it coming from a place of love? We have to be careful here because gossip very frequently masquerades under the guise of piety. That is, well, I'm just sharing this because I want you to pray for this person. I'm just sharing you because I want you to be aware of this and to know what's happening in your brother or sister's life. When the reality is, the information is being said for the sake of spreading. Not for helping, not for prayer, not for goodwill, but simply for the sake of spreading. Now, you can fool men into thinking that your reasons are religious or pious, but God knows whether they truly are or not. Gossip also often involves negative or scandalous information. So the things you're speaking, good, are they bad? Did the words you're saying have the potential to harm or injure a person's reputation? If you were in that person's position, would you want someone saying these things about you to others? Gossip almost always involves negative information that the person would not want spread. And then lastly, another element is that it's often based in rumor. It's often based in hearsay. In fact, what often may start off as fact as it's told from person to person. Maybe it's embellished by one person. Maybe a very specific, important detail is left out and it spreads from person to person. And by the time you get to hear the story, it's very far removed from even what was close to the truth or the fact that happened. And let me throw this detail in as well because somebody here probably needs to hear this. Just because what you're saying is true does not mean that it's not gossip. Gossip can involve true things. It can involve facts, but it may carry the sense of injury whenever it's conveyed to someone else, or may carry some malicious intent. So these are some necessary components of understanding what gossip is. It involves someone's personal private business. It's spoken not to help, but to spread, to share the information with others. It contains negative or scandalous information, and it potentially contains details that you do not know to be fact. Now let's talk about gossip in terms of a biblical perspective. When I'm talking about gossip in the terms of this lesson, I'm using gossip in a categorical type of sense. And what I mean by that is there are many other specific sins that fall into this category of sins where we speak evil of others. And by looking at some of the terms that fall into or the sins that fall into what I'm calling gossip, you'll have a better idea of what it is. One of the sins specifically that falls under the category of gossip is backbiting. Proverbs 25 and verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue angry looks. Now, interestingly, when I looked in the original language to see what backbiting meant, it simply meant to cover. I had to think about that a bit. What does cover have to do with this idea and helping us understand what backbiting is? But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. A backbiting person is someone who will not say something to someone else's face. They wouldn't dare say it about them while they're around. But they're happy to talk about that whenever the person isn't around to defend themselves or to hear what's being said. The backbiter often is like a snake in the grass. They wait until the person steps over them and then they reach up to strike. They're covered up. They're hiding. They do so in secret and they do so with malicious intent, seeking oftentimes to harm and destroy. Whisperer.
is another term commonly used. Proverbs 16 and 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. This is the stereotypical picture of gossiping that comes to mind. You see somebody with their hand cupped over their mouth, and they're whispering into the ear of another person. Maybe they're even talking about somebody that's close by, because they don't want the person to hear what is being said. And the reason they're whispering is obvious. They don't want to be found out. They don't want to be known the things that they are saying about them. And it's very rarely good news that is being shared by the whisperer. A slanderer. Proverbs 11:3. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. Now, slandering involves the defamation of someone's character. Have you ever told someone something negative about another person with the intent and the hope that the person would then join you in thinking evil of that person? You ever said something about someone negative with the intent the person you're telling will join you in thinking evil or thinking less of that person? Maybe you said it because you felt more righteous than them. Or maybe you said it because you wanted to feel more righteous than this other person you're talking about. Maybe you're trying to elevate yourself. Maybe you're saying this because you just didn't like that person. Understand, that's slander, beloved. And it falls under the category of sin, that is gossip. Now we need to be careful here because slander is the most frequently used term of all of these things that we're looking about, used over some 30 times throughout the course of the Bible. And that tells me that while these others may be occasional instances or things which we may fall prey to, slandering is one we have to be very, very careful about because of the frequency with which it's mentioned. We use more time in Scripture than all of the other words combined. Here's another idea that's somewhat related to gossiping. That is the meddler. 1 Peter 4:15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Maybe to you it seems like that passage kind of stands out. What's a meddler doing, therefore, beside a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer? Well, it shows us the gravity of the sin. But a meddler, in the technical sense, is the person who oversees the affairs of others. And it doesn't always carry a negative connotation. Elders are, in a sense, meddlers. By definition of that, it's their duty to oversee the affairs of others. By the technical definition, a business manager would be such a person because they oversee the affairs of the business. They need to know that information so that they can act in a wise manner. But Peter speaks of it here in a very negative way. He's talking about it as a person who seeks to interfere in someone else's private matters. Now, the meddler is the person that goes and they dig up the dirt. And then they give it to the people. And after the dirt is dug up, it's spread from person to person. That's gossip. But the meddler is the one who oftentimes finds the information. So we need to be careful about prying too deeply into someone's personal business. Because when you have intimate knowledge about someone, there's a temptation to share that then with others. Lastly, we see the busybody. In 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. And so a busybody is someone who goes beyond the proper boundaries. They're more fixated on what you're doing and what you've got going on than they are their own life. So here's a cumulative definition of gossip that hopefully we built through the dictionary and then looking at Scripture. A gossip is negative, scandalous, private information that is spread behind the back of the one spoken about with the intent of harming their reputation, causing others to think poorly of them, elevating one's own opinion of themselves, or simply sharing because of the pleasure it gives the sharer. Now really one of the dangers and one of the reasons we think so little of gossip is because perhaps to satisfy our own conscience we say gossip really doesn't cause any harm. It's not that big a deal. And the reality is nothing could be further from the truth. Just because I don't see the damage, or because you don't see the damage, doesn't mean that there was no harm done. How many hearts have been broken by gossip? How many marriages have been broken because of gossip? How many family relationships have been destroyed because of gossip? How many jobs lost? Careers ended? Churches torn down? Lives destroyed? Even literal lives taken because things were spread about a person that simply weren't true. Now to the gossiper, their words may seem nothing more than tossing a small pebble into the pond. They laugh for 2 seconds, they're entertained at the splash, and then they go away. Meanwhile, it can cause waves into the person who is being spoken evil of. The Japanese have a proverb that says, though the tongue is only 3 inches long, it can slay a man 6 feet high. And I don't know if the Japanese can produce a 6-foot tall man. Maybe not, but it's just a saying. Solomon makes a similar statement where it says in Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let me tell you what I mean when I say gossip can kill. In Proverbs 22:1, we're told a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. A person's name, not just their designation, represents their character. It represents how they're spoken about. It represents how they're known. It represents not just this specific designation to separate them from others, but it shows who they really are as a person. And the Bible says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. There's a story that was told of a man who had told many malicious untruths about the preacher at his local church. And being burdened by the guilt of what he'd done, he could no longer stand it. So he goes to the preacher and he tells the preacher, "I've been saying all of these terrible things about you, and I'm just so sorry. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I wish I wouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. What can I do to make it up?" And so the preacher looks out and he sees it's a windy day, and he says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home, get a couple pillows, take those pillows to the open square, rip them open, and then come back and see me." Strange request, but the guy is offended and wants to show his penitence, so he goes and he does what the preacher says. He goes and he cuts the pillows open and he shakes them out, and then he runs back to the preacher and says, "I've done what you told me to do." And the preacher says, "So that you will understand the damage that you have caused, go back to the square and collect all of the feathers that flew out from those pillows." Gossip has the power to kill the good name. Gossip sows seeds of distrust. We used to live by this phrase, innocent until proven guilty. These days we live by a different phrase, guilty until proven innocent. What if before I came to Saratoga 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, one of you would have gotten a call from one of the members from the church that I was working with, and said, "I need to tell you about Zach and Whitney, this preacher and his family that you're about to ask come work with you. They're very devious, they're always fighting, their kids are brats, and they're going to do more damage to this church if you ask them to come and work with you." Well, here's what would happen in most churches. Wouldn't be long before everybody knew about it. And there might be some who would say, "Well, let's wait to see and examine his life and talk to him when he gets here and not believe everything that we hear." But most of us would say, "Wow. Okay, you see what's done? And I would come up here and I would stand before you, never said a word." But yet in most of your minds, there would be at the very least seeds of distrust because of the false information that was spread. That's why when you go back to the Old Testaments and you read in your Bibles, no one could be convicted of a crime unless there were two or three witnesses that could be produced. Because people gossip. People say things that aren't true. And that could result with false punishment and cause a great deal of harm. Gossip sows seeds of distrust. Gossip separates friends and brethren. In Proverbs 6:12-14, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. But it's more than that. We can communicate gossip in a nonverbal way. Winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his fingers. With a perverted heart, he devises evil, continually sowing discord. So gossip can include not only verbal, but also nonverbal communication. The one who is sowing discord not only has crooked speech, he does all of these other things as well. Someone comes up to you and says, "How is such and such doing?" You say, "Oh, they're okay." Well, you said a lot more than "they're okay." You planted seeds in their mind that tell them, although you didn't say anything verbally, that everything is not okay. We need to give great consideration to this because gossip can destroy the relationship between friends and brothers. And we could go on, but I believe the point's been made. Gossip is far from harmless. It's very damaging. It wounds and causes deep and far-reaching damage. It's a sin that probably most of us, if not all of us, have participated in and need to be aware of. We need to guard our tongues. We need to put bars over the doors of our heart so that we do not fall prey to this. So let's turn our attention to two personal means of application. First, I want to address how we can defeat gossip in our own life. That is how, if we struggle with it, that is passing on negative things about others, how we can then overcome it. There's a certain degree of pleasure that comes with the sin of gossip. How can we, with the power of God working in us, overcome the fleshly desire to share negative news of others? And secondly, and perhaps of equal importance, is how then can we stop gossip when we hear it coming from the mouth of others? Most of us might have a way of dealing with it ourselves, but most of us would say, well, it's very challenging to be put in a situation where you're dealing with someone who's gossiping to you. Maybe you don't even want to hear it. How do I handle that? We'll look at that secondly. But before we pluck the beam out of our neighbor's eye, let's first pluck the beam out of our own eye. How can we deal with gossip and overcome it in our own life? Firstly, we need to learn to think before we speak. Think before we speak. Gossip has become so common that it's almost just a conversation piece. You're talking to someone, a friend, and the conversation starts to languish and get a little bit boring, and all of a sudden you lean in and say, "Hey, have you heard this about such and such?" Trying to revive the conversation. Proverbs 29 and verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him." In the morning, in the bulletin this morning, I posted or printed about gossip. I hope you'll take the time to read that and think about it. But the very last thing that I wrote was, before you speak negatively about someone else, stop and think. And I use THINK as an acronym to ask these questions before we speak something negative. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Don't just let words roll off of your lips as soon as you think about them. If you're about to speak negatively about someone else, stop and taste those words. And if you can't answer yes to all of those questions, you very seriously need to reconsider the thing you're about to say. Be quiet. Let the conversation fizzle out. Let the person think you're boring. Far better that than for someone to engage in sin just to keep a conversation interesting. Secondly, quit talking about others and go talk to them. Here's another good way for you to test your words to see if they're even worth saying. If you would be embarrassed for the person whom you're speaking about to know that you said this, don't say it. If you would not say this to the person themselves, were they there? Don't say it. When others fall into sin, or when others are struggling with things in their life, or whenever someone's dealing with a personal or private tragedy that they don't want bandied about, it should not be Sunday morning gossip. Jesus gives very specific instructions how we're to deal with others, particularly when they sin against us. And we can derive from these principles in confronting others about sins that we become aware of, though they may not be against us. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens, you have gained your brother. Now, this is understandably against a person who has sinned, been sinned against. But the principles can apply when we find out or is brought to our attention of sin in a brother or sister's lives. Our first instinct, though, when we're sinned against, is to start telling others, isn't it? We want to find allies. We want to share this wrong that's been done to us. I've got to tell somebody. So we tell our spouse. We tell people we go to church with. We tell our preacher. We go and we talk to everybody but the person we should be talking to. Proverbs 25:9, argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secret. Now, admittedly, this can be hard to do. It takes courage to go to someone. Even if they sinned against you and say, "Hey, there's aught between us. There's something that we need to address." Or to go to someone and say, "This issue's been brought to my attention. This is what I'm hearing. Can you tell me, is this true?" But there's a sin that also goes hand in hand with gossip. And you can probably figure out what it is at this point. If you don't have enough courage to talk to someone about a potentially soul-damning sin in their life, but you have no problem talking about someone behind their back, that makes you a coward. That makes you a coward. Not only that, but if you're willing to talk about my sin to someone else, but don't talk to me about it, how can I assume that you love and care about my soul? Don't give in to the temptation to share this tantalizing secret with someone else. For the love of your brother and sister, for the love of your soul, pluck up your courage and go to them and speak to them yourself. I don't know how you'd feel about this. But if everybody is gossiping about me behind my back, I would be glad if someone had enough courage to come to me and say, "Hey, this is what I'm hearing. Can you tell me if it's true or not?" Because now I'm confronted with it, and I can either, one, justify myself, or two, face a sin if I need to be confronted with it, and then repent of it. We need to quit talking about others and go talk to them instead. Struggle with gossip. Busy yourself working for God. Busy yourself working for God. 1 Timothy 5:13, we see a connection between idleness and busybodies, idleness, and gossip. And we're not really going to expound on this, but I'll just make this statement. Idle hands plus Facebook, social media, cell phones is a recipe for gossip waiting to happen. We need to make sure that we're busy. If we just committed ourselves to the two greatest commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, if we just busied ourselves trying to fulfill two of the greatest commands that Jesus gave, we would be so dog-tired at the end of every day, we wouldn't have time for this kind of activity. Busy yourself working. for God. Think about this too. The next time you're tempted to gossip, realize what you're doing is entering into the work of the devil. And that's not an understatement. When you gossip, you are entering into the work of the devil. Do you know that? If Satan were to come to you and say, "Hey, got a job for you to do, and I think you're the right one for it," there is no way in the world that you would take him up on that offer. But when you gossip, or when you slander, or when you whisper, you are picking up the devil's bag of seed and you are scattering it for him. The term devil in the Greek, as many of you know, is diabolos. But do you know what diabolos means? It means slanderer or accuser. Because the devil is not just a designation, it's a descriptive term describing the work that he does. Revelation 12 and verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers," Satan, "the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." Satan, the devil, is the accuser. Read the book of Job and see what he's doing. He's accusing Job before God. "Job doesn't really trust you. Job's not really committed. Take it all away. His faith isn't real. Remove the blessing and see if he still trusts you." Read the book of Zechariah and you'll see the devil slandering Joshua the high priest, telling God he's not worthy to stand between you and the people. His sins, he's covered with them. Read Luke 22 and see Satan has slandered Peter. And Jesus says Satan's demanded to have you. He slanders you. You've got to be put to the test. You've got to be sifted. And Peter's faith will be, and it will be shown to be true. Listen, if you do the work of slander, you're entering into the work of Satan himself. Whether you realize it or not, you're furthering his kingdom. You're entering his work. One internet writer said, "Gossip is the satanic tongue. To the throne of God, Satan drags with him a cosmic bag brimming full of accusations about your sins, your failures, and your struggles. Worse yet, his bag is filled with true accusations about you, packed with stories about your transgressions." Much of what Satan does is slanders us before God. And how oftentimes do we slander others? We speak things about them that we don't know are true for the sake of simply bringing them down. The next time you're tempted to open your mouth and speak evil of someone else, realize what you're doing. Stop. Stop. And lastly, commit yourself to building others up. So, with the beam plucked out of our eye, let's take just a few moments in closing to consider how we can silence the gossiper. How can we silence the gossiper? One, realize, and this is important, realize that listening to gossip is not harmless. I've been guilty of this. You're sitting there, somebody has something interesting to say about someone else. "Oh, that sounds good. Tell me more." We think it's harmless. We think, "Well, I'm not the one gossiping. I'm just the one being subjected to this. I'm the one who's listening to this." We need to realize that gossip has two parts. It has the passive role and it has the active role. The active role is the gossiper. The passive role is the listener. And understand, neither role is innocent. Neither role is innocent. Realize gossip is not, listening to gossip is not harmless. Romans 1:32, Paul says, "Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, not only do they do them, but here it is, they give approval to those who do them." This list of sins that Paul rattles off in Romans 1:28-31, he says that the person is deserving of death. That's the phrase he uses. Such people are deserving of death on the basis of two things. One, they commit the wrongs that are being listed. But not just that, much more seemingly innocent and harmless from our perspective, but actually not. They give approval to the ones who practice them. A person can be equally deserving of punishment, not just for committing the act, but also for giving approval to it. Now, you can think what you want, but if you sit there and you listen to gossip and you hang on every word, you can't convince me that you're not interested in giving approval to what is being said. Proverbs 18:8, "The words of a whisperer, they're like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Okay, Solomon equates gossip here to like food for the ears. Suppose you're famished. You haven't eaten all day. You sit down to your favorite meal and you just relish and enjoy every bite. Well, that's the imagery of the proverb. The whisperer is speaking these delicious words, and you're sitting there with listening ears, just relishing and taking everything that's being said. And this warning in Proverbs 18 actually isn't to the gossiper, it's to the one who is listening, being exposed to the gossip. And he's saying, if you sit here and you listen to these, you need to understand there's going to be consequences to that. They go down into the inner parts of the body. We're warned in 1 Timothy 5:22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, or take part in the sins of others. Listen, in listening to gossip, you have to realize, though you may not be the active perpetrator, you're far from guiltless. You're lending an ear. You're giving approval to the actions. You're participating in the sin. And you deserve the same punishment as the primary offender. We've got to realize listening to gossip is not harmless and it is not innocent. So let's turn into a more offensive approach. Then what do? If someone starts gossiping to us, we'll ask some important questions. Just interrupt them. Ask them some important questions. Why are you telling me this? Are you wanting my help? Are you wanting my advice? Do you want me to counsel you as to how you should help this person you're telling me this negative thing about? Or are you telling me this because you enjoy spreading negative news? Don't say that, but you know, ask the question, and it's going to force them to answer this themselves. Or are you telling me this because you enjoy spreading negative news? I don't know. Maybe you do need to tell them that. Maybe that'll shut them up more quickly, cause them to realize what they're doing. Or are you telling me this because it makes you seem interesting and fun to listen to and fun to be around? Where'd you get your information? 1 Corinthians 1:11, Paul found out about the problems at Corinth because a sister named Chloe had told him what was going on. We need to understand, not everything negative that's said to another person is gossip by nature. Motive goes a long way. Chloe knew about these problems. She knew of Paul's love for the church at Corinth. And so she goes and says, Paul, the Corinthians are dealing with this. They could use some intervention. They could use some help. That was her motive. That was her intent. God could see that. God could discern that. And so ask the gossiper, where did you get this information? Did you see it happen? Did you hear it come from the mouth of the person you're telling me about? Or did you get it secondhand? Or third, or fourth, or fifth, however the case. If you didn't see or hear it directly, who knows how many times it may have been passed around before word came to you. Ask them, have you personally checked out all the facts? One who states this case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Can you vouch that these things are true? Have you investigated them yourself? What do you call it when someone says something about someone that's not true? We call that a lie. And be careful what you're saying, because when you start passing on information like this, you may very well unwittingly be lying about someone else. Ask them, have you checked out all the facts? And then if you really want to get them, ask them, can I quote you on this? Thank you for telling me. I'm glad to know of your concern for our brother or sister. I'm going to go to them and I'm going to speak to them. Can I tell them that you said this? You know, ask some of these questions. And you're going to force the person who is gossiping to consider, why am I saying this? And maybe that just shuts them down then and there. Or maybe it reveals the true motive that is an intent to help. Here's another one. Defend the person who is being spoken against. That means if someone comes to me with negative news, because as a Christian, I'm not to speak evil of others. And because I'm told that love thinks no evil. When someone comes to me with a charge about a brother or sister, and I just hear this from them, that my response should not be, aha, I knew it. Rather, my response should be, I am not going to believe a word of this until I hear it or see it from them. Love thinks no evil. I was reading a book about a group of people, church, that were sitting together and talking, and there was one scoundrel of a guy there that was part of that church, and he wasn't obviously present. But they start talking about him and saying all of these negative things, and the preacher steps up and the preacher defends him. And they ask the preacher, why are you defending him? You know what kind of guy he is. You know he's a scoundrel. And he says, well, if someone were speaking ill of me, I'd want someone to stand up and defend me as well. And he said, that's what Jesus does, isn't it? Satan hurls all of these accusations against us, but Jesus stands up and Jesus defends us. Encourages the gossiper to go to the one they're speaking against. I don't need to hear this. You need to go tell it to someone else. You need to go tell it to the one who you're speaking about. They're the one that you need to try and help. And if all else fails, then just turn and walk away. Proverbs 29, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Will it be awkward the next time you see them? Probably. Sometimes that's the only way to shut down gossip. That doesn't matter. Don't participate in the sin, and perhaps your actions will awaken them to the wrong that they are committing. Far from being harmless, destruction is the path of the gossip walks. So this morning, I beseech you from the Word of God, measure your words. Guard your heart. Do not partake in gossip either by relishing and telling negative news of others or by eagerly listening. The devil is the great slanderer. However, many of the accusations he brings against me are true. My sins, my weaknesses, my faults, and I cannot deny them. In Romans 8, Paul writes, who shall bring any charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Listen, the accusations of Satan, true though they may be, do not stick to the child of God who is in Christ Jesus. Because listen, if God justifies you, if God pronounces you innocent, it doesn't matter what anyone else said. No one has power to condemn you. And the source of your justification is not yourself and your own goodness. It's Jesus Christ. Faith in Him. If you're not in Christ, you're in a terrible position. Because everything the devil says about you, every sin, every charge, sticks to you. And you'll have to answer for it in the day of judgment. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and you want that protection, you want Jesus as your defender, your high priest, you can come this morning and confess in His name. You can be baptized in water, have your sins washed away. And the devil can say what he wants, but it can't stick to you because you're walking in the light. You're serving the Lord. Jesus will defend and protect you against every charge that Satan may pin against you. If you're here this morning and you realize this has been some sin of which you are guilty, repent. Turn away from it. Use your words to do good. Build others up, not tear down. If we can help you in any way, would you make your need known as we stand and sing the song of invitation?